Tonight's Bible reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. It's on page 842 of the Bibles in the rows. All right, Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
Some intrigued faces. Friends, we are going to look at God's word together in this Go series. And so if you have Luke 9 open in front of you, that will be a great place to start. We will flick through some things from there. As we approach God's word, let's pray together. Our good and our gracious God, we thank you for your word. We're thankful that you've given it to us. Thank you that it teaches us who you are and what it means to be your follower and the work you've done in Christ. Pray tonight that my words are your words. Spirit, please speak through me. And more importantly, work in the lives of us here in the room and across the screen. May we walk from here more deeply knowledgeable of who you are, but more importantly, to be more Christ-like from here than we are in this moment. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, tonight we're talking about things that are authentic. And so I thought to start, do a little game with you. So I've brought some things. And I have pairs of things. One of them is authentic. And the other one is inauthentic. Right? A real and a fake. Now I have two jerseys here. I have a Manchester United jersey on this side, and this is Borussia Dortmund from Germany on the other side. One of them is purchased from Europe, and the other one comes from Bali. All right? Now, if you think this one is the authentic one, put your hand up. Ooh, a good half. Yes? Okay, hands up if you think the Manchester United one is authentic. Yes, the Manchester United one is the one. If you were to come up a little bit closer to this Dortmund one, Dortmund is my German team. I love Dortmund. But I don't wear this jersey because if I were to wear it, it breaks apart. There's frays, the letters coming off. It just sits in my drawer. And for this moment, obviously. The next one is I have some plants. This plant here with some lovely flowers. This one with an array of strange colours. Green colours, not really strange at all. But hands up if you think, so there's two here. Hands up if you think this one is real, the authentic one. Hands up if you think this one is the authentic one. Oh, wow, you guys are much more diverse in the morning service. This one is the authentic one. This one is fake. If you come up close, you can see it's very plasticky, right? This one. Also, I had to cut the dead things off this one this morning. So, anyway, that's that one. Now, some of you may know that I wear prescription glasses for long distance. So, at the moment, I can see you, but you're all a little bit blurry. I have two sets of glasses here. One of them is my prescription. The other one is a cheapo from somewhere. I can't remember quite where. Here they are. Which one's authentic? Hands up if you think it's this one. Not too many. Hands up if you think it's this one. Wow, you guys are good. Yes, this is the real one. If I put these on, you're much clearer, but darker. That's no good. Right, final one. I have two eggs. One of them is real or authentic. The other one is not authentic. Now, it may be a little bit hard to see from where you are, but let's have a go. Hands up if you think this one is authentic. Strong showing for this one. Hands up if you think this one is authentic. Lachlan! All right. Hands up again if you thought this one. This one? All right, how confident are you that this one's... I'm thinking about it, Phil. I'm so tempted. This one is inauthentic. It's just wooden. That's that one. Now, with all these things, sometimes, well, actually often, it's very important to know which one is authentic or inauthentic. But sometimes you can't tell until you're up close. So with that egg, you kind of tell. But if you were to shake it, you can hear the yolk walking around. Well, rolling around. Walking. Wow. Different kind of egg, that one. Where the jerseys, you can tell when you get up close, the plant, whatever it may be. The problem is, when something is inauthentic, it cannot do what the authentic thing can do. It cannot do what it's designed to do. It cannot do what it says it should be able to do. You take, for example, the egg. If I gave you that egg in the morning and you wanted to make scrambled eggs on toast, you would really struggle with that wooden one. And it would be the worst breakfast you had. Now, if you had never had an egg before, and then you got given that egg, and I said, this makes beautiful scrambled eggs as a normal egg, you would be so disappointed, and you would think eggs are rubbish. You'd think eggs are useless. You would never want to have anything to do with eggs again. Inauthentic things can sometimes be very unhelpful. Whereas the authentic things, they do what it is that they're designed to do. They do what it is that they're created for. So the plant, the real one, really grows. It has a fragrance to it. It reproduces. It turns carbon dioxide into oxygen. With the jerseys, you wear the Manchester United one, it doesn't shrink in the wash. It lasts much longer. It breathes well when you wear it. In the same way, as we go and make disciples, as we go and bring the good news of Jesus. One, because God is worthy, as we saw, because Jesus brings a life-changing message, the life-changing message which is for all people. As we go, we want to go and make authentic disciples, conscious to make authentic ones, not inauthentic ones, ones that count the cost, ones that persevere and do what it is that they're purposed to do. Because the scary thing is, friends, when there are inauthentic disciples, maybe they believe for a moment, or maybe they don't, but claiming to be. When the trials come in the Christian walk, not if, but when the trials come in the Christian walk, they will fall away. Or they'll wear the name of Jesus and then do harm to themselves or harm to others or harm and dishonor the name of God. Inauthentic disciples don't persevere. They can't contribute to the mission. They get frustrated with God. You get frustrated with church. Bag it out and walk away. That's the kind of the end result that will happen for inauthentic disciples. And that's not just an issue of today. Jesus was super clear about this stuff when he walked the earth, when he was calling disciples to himself. He didn't want people to make big confessions of faith and then fall away. He wanted them to be clear about what it looked like for them to follow him. And so today, as we go about this Go series, we want to explore what it looks like to have authentic disciples, to be an authentic follower of Jesus. We'll look at how it is that Jesus calls people to follow, how it is that he went about it, and then what are the characteristics. What are the characteristics of an authentic disciple? So then how can we be one? We'll continue to be one. And then how we can go and make authentic disciples. That's our plan for today. Now, the first and the primary aspect of being an authentic follower of Jesus, it somewhat goes without saying, but authentic followers of Jesus call him their Lord and Saviour. Jesus is the Lord and Saviour of a person's life. Jesus being Lord, meaning that he is the King. He is the highest authority. He is the only authority. He has our full allegiance. His mission becomes the disciples' mission. His story becomes our story. His worldview becomes our worldview. That's what it means for him to be Lord, and no one else is Lord. And then him being Saviour. We live in a broken world, in parts as beautiful things, but in many ways there's very dark and terrible things. And then when we look inside ourselves, we know that there's parts that are broken, parts that are in need of healing and restoration and repair. Both external and internal, there are things that need to be saved. And so what we do is we look for something to save it. We might look within, some kind of self-help or self-determination, something like that. We might look to another person. We might look to a way of thinking, a political worldview, a way of seeing the world, or we might just want to withdraw. In some way, we seek to deal with this brokenness and seek to have us be saved. And an authentic disciple of Jesus says he is the Saviour, and he is the Saviour alone. Now, yes, in some way that goes without saying, but that's the foundation. That's the foundation of what it looks like to be an authentic disciple. Now, of course, that only happens through repentance and faith, through the work of the Spirit. But that's the first thing. We now want to look at what it looks like for Jesus to call people to follow him as Lord and Saviour. But as we're about to hear Jesus make those calls, remember who Jesus is. Some of it is going to be really hard to hear. But remember that Jesus is the Son of God, God himself, who stepped off his glorious throne in heaven to a cradle in the dirt. And he grew to be a person, grew up to be a man, who walked the same earth that you and I walk, that he suffered immensely, that he experienced sickness and loss and pain, that he was tempted like you and I. And then, having experienced everything that you and I experienced, he went willingly to the cross, willingly allowed himself to be executed for us, to pay the spiritual penalty, to win the victory over sin and death. And so as we hear this call to follow Jesus, remember, this is the kind of king that calls us, a king that goes ahead of his people, a king that dies for his people, a king that loves us, who creates us and redeems us. And Jesus is the one who has the best intentions for us. Now we can hear his call. Because what does Jesus say? What does Jesus talk about what it means to be an authentic follower, authentic disciple of him? Now, we could explore so many things, right? We could talk about the characteristics of like our virtues, looking at the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all that kind of stuff. Could it be about loving God and loving others? Could it be about active in service and in mission and in ministry, whatever it may be? So we need some kind of boundary, something to give us direction. And I want to pull out three ways that the Bible and Jesus talk about what it looks like to be authentic. And we want to start with Jesus on the road. Start with Jesus on the road as he was walking to the cross. And the best way we get to see that is in Luke's gospel. In the middle of Luke's gospel, beginning in chapter 9, Jesus sets his sight towards Jerusalem, sets his sight towards the cross, and he starts calling people to follow him. Now, as he does that, we see that an authentic disciple, and this is the first thing, an authentic disciple counts and bears the cost of following Jesus. Counts and bears the cost of following Jesus. I want to show you three encounters where Jesus unpacks that for us. The first one is from the middle of chapter 9. So just a little bit back from what Hannah read for us, starting from verse 21. Now, in this section, Jesus is talking privately to his disciples. And his disciples now have seen Jesus heal people. They've seen Jesus teach. They've seen him be the Son of God in many ways. And Jesus says to them from 21, the Son of Man, talking about himself, is going to be is going to suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and he must be killed. And on the third day be raised to life. He's saying, guys, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die, be executed. And then he says to them, verse 23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose their very self? Jesus is saying, I'm going to the cross. And if you want to follow me, then pick up your cross and follow me too. But what does that mean? What does it look like to pick up your cross? Because the disciples don't literally pick up crosses. We don't literally pick up a cross. And maybe you're familiar with that language, picking up your cross daily. In its most kind of basic sense, it means that we abandon our own ambitions. We abandon our own desires, our own agenda, and we live for Jesus. And live for Jesus and his agenda. We don't pursue our desires, we pursue Jesus' desires. We don't pursue the things of this world, we pursue the things of the kingdom of God. That's what it means to pick up your cross and follow him, surrendering to Jesus. I was reading some work by Tim Keller this week, and he talks about a similar passage in Mark. And he says the Greek word used here for life is psyche. And what that means is most likely talking about identity, talking about someone's personality, talking about how the things that define an individual, their selfhood. And so Tim Keller is saying here that Jesus is not saying you lose all sense of who you are, is that your sense of who you are changes. You don't build your identity on things of the world, because that will never work. If you build your identity on things of the world, it's not big enough. It's not grand enough. It's not bright enough. It will let you down. It's not stable enough. It's not loving enough. It's not secure. And it will let you down. But if you lose that, if you lose your life in order to follow him, you will save it. Because on him, we can base our identity on him and the gospel, which is secure, which is safe, which is grand, which is so much bigger on ourselves, and it doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. What does it mean to lose your life? What does it mean to be an authentic disciple? Sorry, you pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Now, as Jesus then keeps walking, he then, through a number of conversations and teachings, vividly displays what it looks like to take up your cross daily. And so the next interaction was the one that Hannah read for us, starting at verse 57. It's just a few verses later, and here Jesus, he's not just talking to the disciples anymore, he's talking to a crowd, a whole group of people. And amongst that, he starts talking to some individuals. And you would have, when we read it before, you would have heard that there was three of them. One of them says, "I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another man, and then Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And then another person still says to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, in some ways, that seems the most strangest evangelistic strategy ever. Jesus is saying, "Yeah, come follow me." Oh, sorry, people are saying, "Yeah, I'll come follow you, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Are you sure?" Jesus says, "What about this area of your life?" Jesus says, "Well, I'm not going to have anywhere to lay my head. Is that the kind of life that you want to have?" Jesus looks into their heart and he sees they have a different priority, and there's an excuse that they have. The first person, they had the priority of comfortable living. The second person, it was priority of family. And the third person, it was priority of holding on to the old life. Jesus is saying, "I would love you to follow me. I want you to follow me. This is why I've come. But there's a cost. The priorities of this life that you have will compete with me, because I'm bringing about a new kingdom and a new way which far superior to what you're experiencing. But you need to lose that life to live my way. There's a cost involved." And as Jesus then talks about the cost more, we flick open to Luke 14. And in Luke 14, Jesus is now amongst the leaders and the Pharisees, and there's another crowd. And Jesus this time gives a parable. And the parable is a parable of the great banquet. The parable basically goes like, there's a really rich man who has a massive feast and invites people to come. But then one by one, people give excuses of why they can't come. And so then the wealthy person says, "Go invite people from everywhere, from the street corners and wherever you may find them." In many ways, it's a very parallel passage to what happens in chapter 9. The invitation is out, but there is excuses. In that passage, it was excuses of finance, excuses of career, and excuses of relationship. And at the end of it, he then talks about the cost of being a disciple. And in verse 27, he says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." And he gives two illustrations. One about building. I love that. I was a builder before I was a pastor. And Jesus said, won't a builder first see the cost and know if they have enough money to complete it? If they don't, they're not going to start. Or a king going out to war is the next one. Won't they first sit down and consider, basically, are they going to be able to win? And if they're able to win, then they'll go. Otherwise, they won't. Jesus is saying, count the cost. Understand what it is that you're going to sign up for. Understand what it means to follow me, because I want you to be authentic. I want you to follow me with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, of course, he's going to make a way for that to happen. It doesn't fall on our shoulders. But Jesus is not a bait and switch. And as Jesus goes around calling all sorts of people, it's all very similar. When he calls zealots, when he calls fishermen, when he calls Pharisees, when he calls tax collectors, when he calls Zacchaeus, when he calls the rich young ruler in chapter 18, Jesus consistently says, you want to be an authentic disciple of mine, you've got to count and bear the cost. I was chatting to Pastor Liambo this week. He preached on the same topic as us in the Mandarin service. And so he grew up in China, became a Christian much later in life. And we're talking about the Christian brothers and sisters in China and the pastors there. And he said this, counting the cost for our Christian brothers and sisters in China is very real. And for pastors in China, there is no earthly destiny other than jail. No earthly destiny other than jail. I'm like, well, this is crazy, right? And he sits in that office and he tells me when he was in jail for his faith, he sat in the same size, the jail was the same size as his office, but there were six other people in there. Legit cost to follow Jesus. Now for you and I, we don't have that kind of threat upon us at this stage, but we still have to bear the cost. For us sitting in this room in this moment, for those of us that are going to walk out onto that street or that street, the ones that are going to go to our homes tonight, we have to bear a cost when it comes to following Jesus. And so that means, friends, following Jesus at times is going to be really hard. It might not be jail, but at times it will be social exclusion. At times it will be relationships we work hard to develop and really value, but they may turn against us or turn down or cold to us because of our faith. At times that's going to be heartbreaking. And then there's all the internal stuff that goes on within us that we take wherever we go, wherever we are. Following Jesus is hard, and sometimes it's going to be painful. Painful to follow his will and not our will. We'll sing the songs and praise God and say, God, may your will be done. But what about when that crushes our dreams? What about when it doesn't align with our vision for life? That's painful. That's going to hurt. That's picking up your cross. To go deeper than that, what about the pain of having to train our heart to love the things of God, not love the things we naturally love? The things that our flesh desires, that we find ourselves naturally doing easiest, to allow the Spirit to do his work to transform us is often painful. It's a great, beautiful, good work, but it's painful. To love obedience and love rebellion cannot happen at the same time. It's hard, and it gets hard quickly as we walk the walk of faith. But Jesus, he doesn't hide away the cost. He lays it out clearly. And we'll pick up in a moment that actually this cost is so worth it. But in this moment, we'll keep moving. This brings us to the next element of what it means to be an authentic disciple. An authentic disciple perseveres. An authentic disciple perseveres through trials, through tests, and through time. Not bearing the cost once, but continuing to follow Jesus no matter the season, in the joys and the hardships, in the knowing and in the unknowing. Authentic disciples persevere. In the back end of our Bibles in Hebrews, the writer is encouraging people to persevere, and he says this in chapter 12. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He took up his cross. He scorned its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. Authentic disciples don't always know what's going on, but they keep going. We keep going. Authentic disciples keep stepping, keep looking to Jesus. Remember back to some of my little things before. You take that jersey, for example, the Manchester United one. It perseveres way better than the Dortmund one. I love both teams, but the Manchester United jersey is authentic. And it will last. It breathes. It doesn't shrink in the wash. Its threads don't bear as soon as you use it. The plant, it continues to reproduce. It continues to grow. Authentic disciples in the same way continue and they persevere. Now, sometimes we want to ask, am I an authentic disciple? Can I be confident? Can I know? And so I think this actual question about persevering is so helpful. Because if you're continuing to step, continuing to look to Jesus, you're an authentic disciple. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, doesn't mean that we know all that's going on. Because it's not based on what we can achieve, it's based on that we continue to abide in Christ, continue to follow him, continue to turn to him. I used to find it really strange and challenging that it was said of David that he was a man after God's own heart. I'm like, how can that be so? David stuffed up all the time. He didn't know lots of things. How could David be a person after God's own heart? But what you see consistently in the life of David through the Psalms especially is that he turns to God in every season of life. In the highs, he turns to God. In the lows, he turns to God. When he sinned abominably, he turned to God in repentance. And friends, that's what makes a persevering disciple, continuing to turn to Jesus. An authentic disciple perseveres through the trials, the tests, and the time. And that brings us to the third element. An authentic disciple of Jesus lives out their God-given purpose, lives out our God-given purpose as Christ would. It's both a collective thing, something that we do together, not just individuals, but also something that we do as individuals together. Because as disciples of Jesus, we're saved for something. We're free to follow. We're made alive to live. We're a disciple to live the Jesus way. We become part of the family of God to do the family business. Right? Whether that's in worship of God, in loving others, in justice action, in ministry in some way, shape or form, loving, whatever it may be, we do what it is that God has purposed his church to do. Now, there's so many verses that we could look at there. One which I find particularly helpful is in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, because just before that, you get that really famous verse, verses 8 to 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. And then Paul says this in verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, creating Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for it in advance for us to do. Friends, we're not saved for nothing, we're saved for something. We're saved and then do what it is that a disciple does, following in the way of Jesus. Authentic disciples live out that purpose. Not just, I'm a follower of Jesus and my life remained as it was. No, follow of Jesus and now our life is different. We're set out on this beautiful, almost impossible mission, but one that's of immense value, one that he invites us to be a part of. And authentic disciples live into that purpose, live into that mission. So friends, come or continue to be an authentic follower of Jesus. And some of us need to ask ourselves, or we can ask of our friends, will we follow Jesus? Will we follow him? But as you ask that question, you can ask, do you really want Christ in your life? Do you really want Christ to make the decisions, to give you guidance, to take hold of your heart, to be part of his mission and not your mission, to be part of his agenda, not your agenda? It's not easy. We're going to have to give up things that we previously loved, change our heart and our life to be more aligned with him, and that can be a hard work. It's a good work, but it's hard. It means new attitudes. And friends, for some of us here, we've been walking in this church, we've been part of what's going on here, maybe for years, maybe for a few months. And the invitation is there for you to come and to follow Jesus. Keep investigating him. If you want to come to the Alpha Course, we'd love you to come, ask your questions, explore. Continue to chat with your friends. But Jesus makes it so clear, his way is the best way, but it's costly. It's full allegiance to him, and it's to have no compromise. A biblical commentator named Garland, he wrote this: following Jesus is not merely another commitment which we add to a long list of other commitments, but it is the commitment, demanding a reordering of our lives from the bottom up. It's the commitment, demanding a reordering of our lives from the bottom up. I was listening to a sermon by Matt Chandler last year sometime, and he said along the lines of, Jesus is not the top of our priority list. He's not just one of the things on our priorities, but he's the paper to which we write all our priorities on. Everything is reordered. Everything is centered on and driven around Jesus. He is the center. He's the paper to which we write every priority on. But friends, costly allegiance to Jesus is worth it. It's worth it in this life, and it's definitely worth it for the life to come. Now, Jesus is the best. He's the most perfect human. He's God and man, fully both at the same time. We're created through him. He designed us. He knows what's best, and he walked the way. And so when we know him to be the good, gracious, wise person who says, come and follow me, that is the perfect, that is the best way to live. There is no better alternative than the Creator himself showing you the way. It is the best way to live. Now, of course, it's hard because we live in this life where we live in this culture, in this time, where the kingdom of God is here but not in its fullness yet. And so we still experience pain. We're still amongst ways of living which are against God. We're not completely into likeness of Jesus yet, so there's aspects of our sinful character that still creep their way up. The evil one is still whispering in our ear. And so we have to count the cost and follow him, not live for the things of this world, to pick up our cross and follow him. But also hear the words of Jesus from another verse in Matthew 11. Jesus says this, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You pick up a yoke, you put a yoke on you. In some respects, it's like pick up your cross. But this is a good yoke. It's almost a bit like a non-yoke. Because Jesus is not saying, okay, you add me onto all the burdens that you have. It's no, you remove the burdens. He helps you take off the burdens of your life. Take off the idols, the things that drag you down. Take off the chains. And instead, put on his way and his attachment, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's good and it's life-giving. It is a bit like putting on a life jacket. You imagine you're out at sea somewhere and you fall off the boat and you're, in a sense, drowning in the water. And someone throws you a life jacket and says, put on this life jacket. Now, it would be silly for you to say, but look at me, I'm flailing in the water, I'm sinking, my clothes are weighing me down, the water's crashing over me, I'm struggling to stay up, and you're asking me to do another thing, put on another thing? Like, it would seem ridiculous, right? That would make no sense. Jesus is saying, when you put my yoke on, it is easy and light, and I know what is best. I carry you, I'm with you, I've walked this way for you and with you. So yes, it is radical and it's demanding to follow Jesus. But it's the best way. It's tough and it's treacherous, but it leads ultimately to an abundant and a full life, in part now and in completeness when he returns again, a life that satisfies and has meaning above all else. And so friends, if we want to go and make authentic disciples, we need to continue to be authentic disciples ourselves so we can make authentic disciples and continue to lead them to Jesus. So as you and I, as we go on this journey, as we long to see Jesus be known amongst our nation and the nations around, let us go make and live as authentic disciples of Jesus. Disciples who have that active allegiance, who don't just believe what Jesus says, but believe and act, who practice what he says, who put it into practice as what Jesus said himself, in his words, in his works, in his ways. And as we go about that, we'll bear and we'll count the cost. We will persevere. And we would live in the purpose that God has intended and given us to do. For God's glory, for our joy, and for the blessing of the community around us. Let me pray for us. Father God, that we thank you, we're so thankful for you. We're thankful that you have not left us here. You created us and you continue to pursue us. Thank you that you invite us to be followers of Jesus. Thank you that you invite us to be part of your family. And so we ask you help us to see the value of picking up our cross and following Jesus. Help us to do it. Thank you that you enable us to. Help us to trust you. Help us to continue to walk with you and be the authentic disciple you've made us to be. And God, we ask then that as we go, more authentic disciples will come into being, that they'll see us and be intrigued, and they'll see Jesus and want to know and follow. Father, we ask that many, many people come into your family. Whatever part we have to play, help us to do it, and may you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.